Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for people who enjoy the outdoors. Now, I'm sure all of you have been camping out at some point in your life, and like me, you enjoy sleeping out in the outdoors. But my guest today has, I guess you'd have to say, taken that to a bit of an extreme, really, and has been camping all over the Lake District Fells. And I'm going to be talking to Russ Morehouse about his new book, Fell Asleep. So without further ado, hello, Russ, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm very good, thank you.
Great, great. Now, your book came out quite recently. I'm wondering, what exactly is it? You slept on all the Wainwrights, is that right?
Yes. So in the Lake District, Alfred Wainwright in the 1960s wrote a famous set of guidebooks to the mountains there, and he listed 214 mountains of the Lake District, and then they've become known as Wainwrights now. So they're subjective to his classification. There's another 50. Sorry.
Yes. So what did he how did he decide what was a Wainwright and what wasn't then?
So mainly it's just the mountain top. So he went round to different peaks, divided the Lake District into seven different areas. There are 55 mountains that he didn't cover, which I've nicknamed the Wayne Wrongs. and that's my latest wild camping challenge, to sleep in all the Wayne Wrongs.
Okay. That's fantastic. And I understand before you did this, or maybe you still do, you were working in a bank. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I worked in a bank for 17 years. And I used to read books. I'd read some of your books. I've read all of Boardman Tasker Mountain Award winning books. And that was just my hobby and what I really liked. And I got to the stage of thinking, I'm just reading about people having adventures and I'm working in a bank. And if I wait till I retire, I'd be too old to do anything. So came up with the idea of spending a year sleeping in all of Wainwrights. The idea had been around in the mountain press for like 20 years or so, but no one had ever done it. So it's quite nice in the modern world to find something that hasn't been done before. So sort of a new challenge. So, yeah.
And in the banking world, then, you're obviously working with people. Would you say, are you working with people who are fairly wealthy, or how is that?
Yeah, so I was a financial advisor. So I looked after customers with like £500,000 upwards. And I'd sit with some of them in their homes, and they'd have all this money, and some of them are getting them elderly, but they'd never spent it. And I just sort of, although they wanted more money, I came to realize you can never have a safe amount. If money is what you care about, you never get enough of it, and you never feel secure. If you've got £20, you don't feel secure. If you've got £500,000, you don't feel secure because you don't know what might happen. So the mentality is you can never, there's no end to amassing it. So I just thought, you know, I just don't want to get to that stage. I feel like I've not done something I wanted to do. So I just decided to, you know, pack it in, go off, see what would happen. Spent a year living in the mountains, which was brilliant. It was just like the best experience. I loved it. Just getting back to simpler life.
You kind of gave up then. You swapped money for time, I guess. Is that fair?
Yeah, money for time, money for experience. Yes, just for the experiences. So that was really, I thought, you know, you only live once, so if there's something you want to do. And I just had the best time. At the beginning, I didn't know if I'd enjoy it. I didn't know. I've been wild camping lots of times over my life. And sometimes it rains and you pack up and go home early after one night. And so I didn't know if I'd be like 214 nights, what am I doing? But actually, it just was like, it was so much better than just when you go away for a weekend and do wild camping. It just sort of improved and improved.
So you really got into the experience by the sound of it then. So and were you, to, you know, you, there's what, 200 or how many Wainwrights are there? I'm sure you'll know.
Yeah, 214 mountains. So I divided the year. When you do a job for 9 to 5, you work about 200 days out of the year. So in some ways, it was like having a job. There was just no pay. So I sort of broke it down into weeks, and I wanted to do every season equally. So make sure I sort of experience the full range of weather and everything the lakes had to offer, rather than doing it in summer, which might be classed as easier. So I did sort of 53 or 54 camps each season, spring, summer, autumn, winter. And then, you know, then I had weekends off to see my girlfriend or my children and like sort of normal life. But I lived in my van, so I didn't have a home for the year. I just lived on the mountaintops and my van, which is nicknamed Van Gogh because it lost a wing mirror. So that used to drive me around.
I like that. So it was it lost one of its ears, did it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I see. And so you took it up as a almost like a kind of job. What was it like in the winter? Because I can one of the issues with the winter obviously is that the nights are very long, aren't they? And so you must have been sort of up on the summit of some of these hills for quite a long time. How was that? How was it camping in the winter?
Well, yeah, it sort of changed. So at the very beginning, I used to think of like I was going up to the mountains to camp and coming back down to the van, which was my base, as it were. But in winter, it sort of the mentality changed. Where actually, I felt like I lived on top of the mountains and then I just came down to get a bit more food and then go back up the next one. So I was spending so much time there. So I almost felt like home was on the top of the mountains and I'd come down in lunchtime, go back to my van, get some more food, climb up the next one. I put all the mountain names in a yellow bag at the beginning of the year and picked them out randomly. So I didn't want to follow a circuit or a route that was known.
Oh, right. So you
Day was random. I didn't know where I would be the next day.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting way of doing it. So that must have come up with some quite difficult surprises at times, I would imagine.
Yes. I mean, a lot of the Wainwrights are close together. So doing it this way meant each one was like treated as a separate mountain. The runners who run round them all obviously link them all together,
so they're
staying high up. So each one was treated separately, and sometimes I'd walk all the way back down to the van from one of the mountains. I'd pick out a name, and it was next to the one I'd been camping on the night before, so I had to walk back. So there were the days where you had a big sigh before turning around and heading back. But in general, it was just great fun, and it kept it alive. It wasn't. You know, I've walked the Bob Graham round and things like that. And when you know what's coming next, you can get this sort of tired feeling in your mind before you get there because it's like, oh, whereas when you just didn't know what was happening, it just really fresh all the time. So it's brilliant. So
yeah, that was a great idea. And in terms of, well, obviously you must have learned a hell of a lot about camping out and about staying out of the wild. What kit did you use? Did you carry a tent, a bivy bag? What did you do?
So I had a mixture of a tent, a bivy bag. I slept in three caves because three of the mountains had a little cave in that I found. So in one of the February storms, there was like snow on the ground and there were these 70, 80 mile an hour winds coming in. And I was supposed to be on the top of Bessie Boot. So the sort of the only rules I had on these days were I had to get to the top of the mountain, so you know, to climb the mountain, and then I had to sleep on the mountain. So I didn't have to be on the top. Normally, if it's good weather, you keep as near to the top as you can.
Yeah.
It's up like paper at the base, but there was no sort of specific rule based on the quotes. It was just a bond with the mountain, you know. So you say, oh, I've slept on that, and it gives you that knowledge and remember where you think of the mountains fondly, and you if you ever view them as a friend after you spent the night on there. So this storm one, and I found a cave on Little Bessie Boots, which was sort of, you know, halfway up the side, and got out of the worst of the wind and the snow and a damp dripping cave, but I spent the night there, so that was a good experience.
And how did it adapt the way that you camped out did you find, you know, some bits of kit weren't as good as you wanted and some bits of kit were better?
Yes, but I'm not a huge kit. At the beginning, I didn't have enough kit, but I didn't really know what I was getting myself in for. I had an old storm tent that was really good, and then I had like a budget tent that I'd taken from having weekend campings, and I liked a bit of bivy bagging, so I had a bivy bag, which you can't go wrong with that, is it? You're sleeping in a plastic bag. So. So I had that, but as the year went on, some companies donated me a tent, so for winter, Terra Nova gave me like a winter tent, which was really handy because without that I might have struggled a bit, because it obviously is you want to be a bit more sealed in, which was very good. So I got the kits, but I'm not a big kit fan. For me the tent's just about where I'm inside. I know some people love the kit more than the camping, but I actually like the camping, and what I like being is on top of the mountains, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the mountain tops better than the bottoms. So that was where I wanted to sort of be. And it was just there. And as long as the kit kept me warm, I had some few good sleeping bags. And
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That was the experience.
So you, from what you're saying then, you actually, I suppose you adapted and you got more and more into it the further it went then. Is that right?
It did, yes. Yeah, I really didn't want it to end. I wished it had been like 400 Wainwright, so I could have kept going for another year or something. It was, yeah, I didn't know what it would be like. But finishing, the only scary thing was finishing, because I didn't know what I was going to do when I finished. So I'd left the bank by the time it ended. And then I've been doing this for a year. And so then it was a big like, oh, what happens next? And so on. I'm not quite sure. I'm just occupying myself, writing my books, and remembering what I did last year at the moment, and then camping on the Wayne Wrongs is like a little hobby for just weekends and so on at the moment.
Well, you see, the obvious thing to do now is, as far as I know, no one's ever slept on all the Monroes, so there, yeah, you go. That'll keep you busy for a little while, I would have thought.
That's even harder. That's a harder, proposition.
That's a much harder proposition. Yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah. Plus the fact we've got midges in Highland, and I think they I'm sure would entertain you quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think? Go on. Sorry.
I've been in Scotland a few times, and the midges have entertained me. If that's the word.
Aye. They're one of the least savoury aspects of Highland life, I'm afraid. But one of the things that you did also, I understand, whilst you were doing this, well, it's quite a feat, really, is that you raised money for a mental health charity, £10,000, I believe. Why was that important to you?
Yes. Well, that was one thing, actually. I'd been diagnosed myself with EUPD, which stands for Emotionally Unstable Personality Disorder. Mm-hmm. It's a type of bipolar. And it sort of means, I don't know, probably made me suited to spending so much time on my own on the mountaintops. But it's a mental illness. But there isn't really any known cause for it. So obviously a bit hereditary and a bit environmental, but there's no known cure for it either. So what that means is 99% of the time you go around, you're quite a normal person, you're just getting on with everyone friendly. And then this 1%, you become like the Hulk or something where, you know, something just sets you off, and it's not a big thing, but you just lose it completely, become like very angry, you know, and just like the Hulk, you know, and then you wake up 5 minutes later and all your clothes are ripped and you're green and you're like, ooh,
doesn't sound much fun.
How did you find
then that the what at times must have been a bit of an ordeal, really. How did you find that affected your mood and your mental health then?
Yeah, well, being in the mountains was good for it. I mean, I think everybody who goes to the mountains knows that. And, you know, whatever job you do, I think anyone goes and doesn't enjoy it. You feel great. Even if you're not enjoying the day in the mountains, the experience when you finish is good. So that was just a perfect place for me to be. So, yeah, that really helped, you know. And then it just made me realise that I don't want to go back to doing what I did before in the banking and that life, and it didn't suit me. So, I want to be outside, so I'm doing something else. So, doing a bit of gardening now. My friend got me a few jobs just to keep some money coming in until the next, till I start camping on the Munros. Or I had a joke again, and people kept asking me, I was saying this was called Sleeping with Wainwright. So, there might be Sleeping with Whales, which is the wild campers version of Swimming with Dolphins.
You've got a title there already, I think.
Yeah, there's 189 mountains in Wales, so that'd be easier than the Munros.
It would, yeah. Well, that sounds interesting, you know. I think you hinted that you're writing another book, or you're working on something else. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it just so I brought out a season at a time, the book. So The Fell Asleep, the first one that's out is Spring. That's been out. That's got to Amazon number one in the Amazon charts and had lots of good reviews, which has been really nice.
Well, that's really great. Sorry, I didn't realize. So is this like part of, it's not a trilogy, a four book series. Is that, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm bringing out one for each season.
Okay.
And it's to coincide with when I camp. So summer's out now, because the summer season started at the beginning of June. So it comes out Friday this week, the summer one, Friday 20th of May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've done that one, and then, you know, and I'm in the process right in autumn, which will be out beginning of September, if that's the, yeah, I think. And then winter, obviously, at the end of the year. So and it's just the way I've published it, there's too much to put into one book. And you can right. probably put it into two books, but I camped in seasons, so it just sort of fits with the seasonal aspect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm doing it that way over the four seasons, so one at a time. And just, yeah, some people have read it, really like it. The only reason I'm writing the book was I spent so much time reading books. And when I was sat working in the bank, but living in the city, mm-hmm. reading books in a bedroom on my office, and the books took me to the mountains, and I used to read them and read it slowly, and you'd read a page or something about whatever event was going mm-hmm. on, but mm-hmm. then dream of being in the mountains. So I wanted to write a book that did the same for other people. So it's, you know, it's not sort of an adventure story as such. It's more like people have described it as like a collection of love letters to the fells or something. It's more just like mountains and experience. And there's a bit of story in there as well. So that's what described the same way when I've written, you know, the read some of the bits. Just so that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I think I have done. So that was, I'm quite pleased about that.
Right, right. So. Well, I hope you didn't use my books as a model. That would be a bit of a curse, wouldn't it? You know.
Well, they've done very well, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, you have to say. Yeah, I'm really pleased with the way they've got. But I think one of the things I found writing the books that I've written is that you kind of relive the experience as you write it, and sometimes it strengthens your connection with the outdoors. Does that make sense to you? Have you found that?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, yeah. It's just when you're writing it, I've just really enjoyed writing it and memorizing it because I've done so many camps, 214. Unless you try and focus on one at a time, you just forget about it, or you're living in the present and now it all just becomes in the past. So going through the book a stage at a time, sort of remembers each day and what it was like. And you know, I just had a purpose that year, a real strong purpose to camp, and that was life was simple, you know. Picked the name out of the yellow bag, I had to go and camp on Grisdale Pike. So then off I went to Grisdale Pike, and it was just, you know, it was a great way to live for the year. So I don't know, I might do another big year adventure or something different. Who knows, or maybe I won't, but that was just, it was a great time anyway. And hopefully the book sort of gets that across to other people. And it'd be nice if other people want to do something similar, or somebody else wants to go and sleep in all the Wainwrights. There was a chap sleeping on the Welsh 3000s. There's 15 of them. He was having a go at that. And I tried to explain it's different from just going camping for a weekend to do a thing like that. You know, it's almost like a way of life rather than just the hobby side of things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the things I'm writing at the moment is I'm writing a book about my experiences. I've got a hot tent, you know. And but again, that's a very different way of camping. You know, you can it's very different from lightweight camping. It's almost like you can camp all year round in a hot tent. You can practically live in one, really. And it's taking me to different places as well. Very much in the same way, I'm guessing that you're much more Spartan existence on the fells took you. I'm interested in a way, you know, you talk about working in a bank and moving on. And Robert Service, who wrote, I don't know if you've read any of his poems about the Yukon and about living in very wild places. He worked in a bank. And at the time he wrote a lot of his works, he had no real experience of living in the Arctic at all. But he went on to tour such places, you know. So bankers have got a sort of a history of writing about wild places.
right. No, I've not heard of that. So he wrote about them before he went, did he?
yeah, he was writing about all these wild dog bushing, great big sort of Arctic heroes, and he worked. I think he worked in a bank in Warrington or something. You know what I mean?
I was Preston's, quite near where I was.
Well, there you go.
Speaking of Lancastrians, I think in the bank and wishing they were somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you've followed in his footsteps. So you were saying that your next book comes out very, very shortly. You said, is that right?
Yeah. So it's out this Friday, the summer one. So it's they're all called Fell Asleep, but it's just summer, summer season's coming out. So.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, I look forward to that. And I certainly look forward to reading your book. And I hope you have a lot more experiences in the great outdoors, sleeping in very unusual places.
I'm sure I will do that. That's definitely something that I will be continuing to do.
Brilliant. Well, it's been great talking to you, Russ, and all the very best with your nocturnal wanderings.
All right. Thanks, John. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.